flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
As we have a clock hanging behind us around Boomer Esiason's neck, tick tock, that Pete Alonso is going to resign today. Probably not going to happen. That clock will be replaced by an L at the close of business around 5 o'clock today if Pete doesn't resign. Let me make this warning to the New York Mets. And I think David Stearns already knows this, I think. But let me explain this. So the San Diego Padres are listening on trade offers from Michael King and Dylan Cease. Now, I think Dylan Cease is the likeliest guy to be traded. They just agreed on a deal with Michael King to avoid arbitration. And it's a very funky deal. Funky deal in terms of he gets a signing bonus. There's a lots of realistic things he can hit to bring up his salary, like based on innings pitched. So I think the Padres are kind of playing some games with the Michael King contract. So my guess would be Michael King's not going to be traded. Dylan Cease will be traded. Dylan Cease is one of the most reliable starters in baseball. I don't have a bad word to say about him.
Yeah.
He goes out there, he makes 30-plus starts every single year.
Right.
He's the perfect arm for the New York Mets in terms of reliability. And you want to call him an ace? I don't know if he's an ace, but he's very reliable.
He doesn't need to be. He just eats up innings.
Yeah.
That's his M.O.
And he's had some great years in his career. So I would love to add Dylan Cease. Here's the problem. The problem is Dylan Cease is 29 years old, which means next year when he's a free agent, he's going to be 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
David Stearns has already shown us he's not giving big contracts to 30-plus-year-old starting pitchers. That's number one. Number two, we'll play a little game. Tiki doesn't know the answer, but as soon as I ask the question, he'll figure out the answer because he's really smart. Who do you think represents Dylan Cease?
Oh, I'm going to say Scotty Boris.
You are correct. So let's walk through this. If you're the Mets trading for Dylan Cease, he's a rental. He's a rental because he's going to be 30 upon free agency. He's a rental because he's represented by Scott Boris. He's a rental because David Stearns has shown us he's not really going to hand out that kind of mega contract for a 30-plus-year-old pitcher. So as long as we understand the first part, Dylan Cease is a rental, we can get to the second part, which is how much you willing to give up. Now, I may be willing to give up a lot less than Tommy and other Met fans, but hold the phone on that for a second. If you're going to trade for a rental starting pitcher, that means you're going for it, right?
You have to go for
it. Yeah. You're probably not re-signing this pitcher. In fact, it's unlikely you're re-signing this pitcher unless David Stern's been rope-a-doping us for 2 years and all of a sudden's like, hey, Dylan Cease is the 30-plus-year-old starter I want to give a 7 or 8 year deal to. If you're going for it by making an all-in-ish kind of trade for Dylan Cease, how are you not re-signing Pete Alonso? How would that make any sense whatsoever? So I'm not yelling, or like because I'm mad, because nothing's happened yet. I'm expressing a strong opinion that if you want to rent Dylan Cease, If you're going to do that, then you better re-sign Alonso, well, because then what are we doing?
By the way, they're not mutually exclusive. You can obviously do both of them. But I think if you are going for it with Dylan Cease, then you're necessarily going for it with Pete Alonso. And so it becomes a, all right, Pete, we got you, but this is kind of like Dylan Cease. It's a one-year opportunity for you.
Sure.
And Pete Alonso, I'm positive, doesn't want that. I don't think he wants, as much as we've thrown it out, this pillow contract that he's likely going to get, which is an opt-out after his first year, he probably doesn't really want that.
Well, but he's going to have to take that. The one thing that's happened is it's going to be a three-year deal with opt-outs all over the place. Like, that's established. It's more about the money that he's going to get.
Yeah, but should the money care? Should he care that much about the money?
That's
because
up to him.
Because it's limited. Like, think about the spread that we're talking about here. It's limited.
I understand.
A couple million here or there on either side of the negotiation. Does that really matter?
That
can't be what's holding this up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$2 million. That cannot be what's holding up the negotiations between the Mets and Pete Alonso.
All I know is renting a starting pitcher, which is what I think, based on what I just laid out, Dylan Cease would make no sense in conjunction with not keeping Pete Alonso.
Right.
Like, I think David Stearns is too smart to do any of that. Like, renting a starting pitcher, I'm not even telling you I'm dead set against. I understand it. Now, I may not be willing to give up, you know, Brandon Sproat and Drew Gilbert. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I'm not. But if you're going to rent a starting pitcher, because that would definitely improve the Met rotation. The Met rotation, you had Dylan Cease to go along with David Peterson and Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea, and then the questions around Frankie Montas and Clay Holmes. That's a pretty damn good six-man rotation.
Yeah.
I think we'd all agree on that. But it's contradictory in my eyes to do that and not re-sign Pete Alonso. You got to do both. That's my warning. Got to do both. You want to trade for a rental starting pitcher? Cool. You can't do that and say, we're going to figure out Brett Beatty at first base. Because you're making a very aggressive all-in move.
Beatty's not going to play first.
Well, first base or third base. Right. Essentially replacing Pete Alonso in the lineup. That's my warning. Because it doesn't make sense. That's all it is. It would not make sense. And I believe David Stearns does make sense. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Paul in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
What's going on, guys?
Yo.
I'm going to be 70 years old in March.
Happy birthday.
I've been watching football since, thank you, watching football since.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 1961.
Yes.
If you want to call Brady the greatest winner of his generation, that's fine, okay? I saw them all play. I saw the end of Otto Graham. I saw John Unitas, I saw Bart Starr, I saw them all.
Mm-hmm.
Bart Starr won 5 world titles in 7 years. I don't care what kind of ball you call him. Football didn't start Super Bowl I. Football started a long time ago.
No, I don't.
Okay, now, hold it. Go back now. You're the coach of the Rams, okay? And you tell Deacon Jones, during film session, Deacon Jones, number 12 is Tom Brady. He's their quarterback. But you know what? You can't touch him. You tell Dick Butkus. That's Tom Brady. He's the quarterback. You can't touch him.
But you know what?
But
the problem with what you're saying is there's no disrespect to Bart Starr because he's one of the greats of all time, is that you're penalizing quarterbacks of this era
because
they play in a different era.
Yeah, because the rules are different and the rules protect them because they make so much money and we know the reasons why. But still, they play in this era. They can't help it.
Right. So you can't penalize them. So, and look, here's the issue, and I understand why it'd be frustrating for a guy like that who's watched.
I thought he was going somewhere different.
Where'd you think he was going? Dan Marino?
No, I thought he was.
Johnny U?
I thought he was going to say Tom Brady, as he did say, is the greatest winner ever at the position, but he's not the greatest athlete, you know, ball placement guy. He's not any of that.
Right.
I mean, think about what they do so many underneath crossing routes and. Let's check it down to the running back. Let's throw it to our tight end on some of these easier throws. Nowadays, you see Pat Mahomes and Even Lamar and Josh Allen making these ridiculous throws in these tight windows. Tom developed into doing that, but for a lot of his career, it wasn't that.
Right.
And so I thought that's what he was going to say.
Yeah, I thought he was going to. I think a lot of people probably think like me. Peyton Manning, I thought, was the greatest player at the position I've ever watched. Even
right.
Brady was a greater winner to speak to that. I thought
right.
that's where he was going.
Right,
me
right.
too.
But I think when you're an older fan, what you almost have to do with guys like Bart Starr and Roger Staubach is separate them completely. Because mm-hmm. here's what I could never do with Bart Starr, who is very underrated because of all the winning he did with the Packers. You're right about that. But when you sit there and you look at his career numbers, they're just like blah. Now, yeah. I get it. It's a different sport. I acknowledge that. But he never allowed the leg in touchdowns. He never threw more than 16 touchdowns in a season. Now, that's not me knocking Bart Starr. That's me saying, how the hell could I ever make an argument he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
So you almost have to separate kind of the older quarterbacks and compare them to guys of their era. That's why I said, look, I've been watching football since 1991. That doesn't include Dan Marino in his real prime.
Right.
That doesn't include Dan Marino in a Super Bowl. But from what I watched, Mahomes is the best.
Yeah, and it's just the game is so different than it was then. We know this, and we've said this multiple times, but those quarterbacks, if you had asked them to turn into what these modern quarterbacks are, I mean, I don't know if they could have done it.
Right.
Just because it's not how they grew up. It's just like three-point shooting in basketball. If you ask someone who played in the 50s, in order to be on this NBA team, you got to be able to hit three-pointers. They'd be like, all right, well, I'm doing something else.
Right.
Because it's not something they grew up learning how to do.
No, you're right.
Nowadays, kids are shooting threes when they're 12 years old.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, but the game is just different.
Did you guys listen to me and watch the Memphis Grizzlies-Houston Rockets game?
Did not.
Did you guys listen to me and watch the Islander game last night?
Saw the result.
The New York Islanders won. They've won six in a row. They are now. Actually, I lost my newspaper,
I'll save
bro.
You. They passed the Rangers by a point.
They're Thank better you. Than the Rangers.
Thank you. Well, I was going to ask
hold
you.
Hold on. It's a lot like Brady and Manning.
Stop. I was going to ask him because I lost the newspaper. I was going to ask, well, where are they in the standings? So they're ahead of the Rangers?
Yeah, for now.
Better than the Rangers.
Better than the Rangers, right?
Talk to me after we play the Bruins.
They got more points than the Rangers?
But still worse than the Devils.
Right. Wow. That is true.
Devils a little bit.
Devils are coming down.
Devils are on a slush.
If you guys watched the Memphis-Houston game, I so wish this was a Nick game just so we could talk about it for 25 minutes. The Grizzlies are down by a point after Fred VanVleet misses a three with about 18 seconds to go, and they're running a fast break. Okay, they're running a fast break. They're about to get an easy dunk. And the official misreads Taylor Jenkins, the Grizzlies coach. He was screaming, go, run, run, run. They thought he was calling a timeout.
No.
And they blew the play dead, stopped the Grizzlies' fast break. Jenkins loses his mind. Everybody's confused. Luckily, the Grizzlies ended up winning the game anyway because they made two free throws after, I forget who it was, got fouled.
Right.
So that would have been it. Yeah, Jaren Jackson. That would have been the most unbelievable way to lose a game. So if you did listen to me and say, hey, I'm going to scout Memphis-Houston, you got yourself quite an ending. It would make the NFL blush. They'd be like, what? Your calls continue at 888-808-1019. And we check the big clock that's behind us, the Boomer clock. He says Pete Alonso is signing sometime today. The clock is ticking around his neck. Will he sign? I like that. I like that little clock.
Feels like Sunday night when I hear that.
60 minutes?
Yeah. 60 minutes.
It really does. Plus, we'll find out if Shador Sanders is just telling us point blank where he's going to play football next year, because I think he did the other day. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.